supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamun Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special, which you are listening to. We're going to speak about motherhood in Islam. Today, Friday, 22nd of Jamadil Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of January, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by a recitation of Chapter Al-Maryam, verses 31 to 32.
وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا
and He has made me blessed wherever I am, and has enjoined upon me prayer and zakah as long as I remain alive.
وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا.
And made me dutiful to my mother, and He has not made me a wretched tyrant.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
By mentioning the word mother, Jesus, peace be upon him, has pointed to the chastity of his mother, Mary, and his lack of father. Imam As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, said, "The best deeds are prayer in its time, kindness to parents, and holy struggle or jihad in the way of Allah." The Messenger of Allah said, "One who obeys the command of Allah regarding parents, two doors of the paradise will be opened for him, and if he obeys the command of Allah regarding one of them, then one door will be opened to him."
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
And motherhood in Islam, we look at. A Muslim mother has a value and dignified role. Her contribution is acknowledged and appreciated. Her unparalleled gifts to the child have been aptly described by Imam Zainul Abidin, Shia's fourth imam, in Risalatul Huquq, the chapter of rights. We read, "It is the right of your mother that you should appreciate that she carried you in her womb the way nobody carries anybody. She fed you the fruits of her heart which nobody feeds anybody. She protected you during pregnancy with her ears, eyes, hands, legs, hairs, limbs, in short, with her whole being, gladly, cheerfully, and carefully, suffering patiently all the worries, pains, difficulties, and sorrows."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum. We shall be talking again the status and position of women. Lady Fatima Zahra is the most perfect and supreme lady of the world, who is known as an innocent daughter, wife, and mother, as we said earlier. The personality dimensions of Lady Fatima salamullah alayha are not related to a specific period of time, and her lifestyle is a worthy example and model for all ages. She is not only an exemplary and unique model in housekeeping, husbandry, and raising children, but also in other fields, and the manifestation of the Islamic lifestyle is crystallized in the biography of Siddiqatul Kubra, Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. What is important is that the basic pillar and cultural infrastructure in any society is the mother. And if there is a cultural inadequacy in the society, or high personalities and ideas are born, and the origin of all of them is the mother, no society will taste the taste of independence and dignity unless its women find dignity. Therefore, it is possible to consider Lady Fatima salamullah alayha as the mother of culture of the school of Ahlul Bayt and the Islamic revolution. And the teachings are like inspiration to all Muslim men and women who with their lives provide the ground for the emergence of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio presents
Today's special, every day for 15 minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
We want to speak about the strength of a mother, awareness of responsibility. Motherhood is a career, and those who take it up must try and excel at it. It is the duty of every mother to look into better techniques and strategies of parenting. A wide variety of material is available, both Islamic and secular. Although Islamic material may not be abundant in English, many secular books and magazines are published about parenting. Reading these from time to time helps increase awareness and vision. When a mother reads about problems that parents face, she's comforted by the fact that she's not alone. That is very reassuring, as often parents assume they are the only ones having difficulties. Although reading about solutions used by other people or advice given by psychologists helps broaden the choice of possible tactics in dealing with children.
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all that I believe.
And today, another tip for Muslim mother: practicing in front of your children regularly what you want them to do. Be a practicing Muslim mother. You can never expect your child to speak the truth while you lie in front of them. How can your child speak in a polite tone while you shout at him? Children are very fast at taking up habits, so be very much careful in front of your children, and they are much more likely to do exactly what you do. Do repeated acts to develop it in them as a habit. Doing zikr, reciting dua, say bismillah repeatedly whenever you start any task. Inshallah, alhamdulillah. Make such words your habit so that your child copies them too.
So one of the things of uquq al-walidain, one of the things of angering your mother, it will take away the ability to say the shahada in the moment of death. This is why you have to be very careful and try to please your mother. And this is a hadith from the Prophet: heaven is beneath the feet of your mother. This is a real hadith. This is a real hadith, and it has consequences in this dunya and in the akhirah. If you want tawfiq, you want blessings in this dunya, then you have to be a person who shows ihsan and love and obedience to your parents, and specifically to your mother. And if you want the akhirah, if you want the afterlife, then you have to be a person who shows love and respect to your mother. One day a man, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and he tells him, "Ya Rasulullah, I carried my mother on my back. I carried her on my back and I took her to perform the Hajj." And the Hajj is very exhausting. If any of you have gone to Hajj, carrying yourself is an exhaustion in itself. Imagine carrying someone else on your back. That time they didn't have wheelchairs. He carries his mother on his back and he takes her to do the tawaf and the sa'i and Muzdalifah and Mina and Arafat and all of the rituals. He does them. And then he comes back to Rasulullah. He tells him, "Ya Rasulullah, have I paid back my mother for what she did?" Rasulullah tells him, no, you will never be able to do so. You will never be able to go through the pain that your mother went through in childbirth, in raising you the first months of your life, all of that. You will never be able to do that. Today there are some people, their parents become older. And I've seen this. They serve their parents. The parents become either paralyzed or they become sick. And sometimes the kids, they're feeding their parents, they're changing them. And this goes on for years. But this is still not equivalent to the love that the mother shows to the child when you were first born. A man comes to the imam and he tells him, I've been taking care of my parents, my mother, for years now. I've been feeding them, I've been washing them, I've been giving them everything that they need. Have I paid them back? The imam says, no. He says, because when your mother was caring for you when you were a baby, she had hope to see you grow older. She had hope to see you become successful and become independent and become wealthy and become healthy and have dunya and have everything. But when you are taking care of your mother, you're counting the days and you're saying, this is a test from Allah. It's going to finish soon. They're going to leave soon. So this is the difference.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special about Muslim mother. Inshallah, we continue to know more about this topic on the next episode of today's special. So follow us at parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for Thought.
Hello everyone, let us contemplate upon the words of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, regarding his blissful marital life with Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. By Allah, I never angered Fatima or forced her to do something she did not like up to the day that she passed away. Nor did she ever anger or disobey me. In fact, when I looked at her, depression and sadness would vanish from my heart. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. and one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the levels of faith. As you know, faith or iman is one of those very central Islamic concepts which has been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran, as well as in the hadith. And one thing that is important to remember with respect to faith is that faith is something different from submission, or iman is something different from Islam. This is proven by the fact that Imam Bakr alayhi salam said, faith is to attest and to act, whereas Islam is to attest without action. So our faith is affirmed and is created by our acting upon what we attest to and what we admit to. And because action is something which is subject to gradation and subject to variation and can increase and decrease, the faith of a person can increase and decrease, and subsequently it comes to acquire various degrees and levels. Because of this, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he said in this hadith, he said that certainly faith is 10 levels, right? Of course, faith has an numerous amount and an infinite amount of levels, but we can categorize them into these 10 levels, right? We can summarize them into these 10 levels. He said, certainly faith is 10 levels, like the rungs of a ladder. He compared them to the steps or the rings of a ladder, where each ring is climbed one after the other. The one on the second rung cannot say to the one on the first, you are nothing, until he completes the 10. Meaning you can't, if you're your faith is a little higher than another person, you shouldn't look down on the one who has a lower faith than you. You shouldn't become proud about it. Therefore, do not knock the one below you down, lest the one above you knocks you down. Meaning, you shouldn't brag about your level of faith to the one below you, otherwise somebody would do the same to you who has a higher level of faith than you. And when you see one below you in rank, lift him up to your level with gentleness. Right? If God has given you a higher level of faith and iman, you should use that to guide people who are lower than you. It shouldn't be a cause of arrogance for you. Then the Imam said, and do not burden him with that which he cannot bear, lest you break him. And the Imam also said, you should be gentle with that person who is at a lower level than you. You shouldn't overburden him with responsibilities that he cannot bear. For verily, one who breaks a believer must put him back together again. You would be responsible for, your hurting of this person. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the levels of faith in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRB English Radio, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools Network. I'm really happy, inshallah. Today also we have Brother Fawad Haider and Hussein Akbari. Assalamu alaikum, Hussein. How are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And Fawad, how are you?
Salam, sir. I'm fine too.
Alhamdulillah. So everyone is fine, brothers and sisters. Hope you are fine as well, inshallah. Inshallah, today we will talk about two verses from Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 126 and 127. On page 144. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 144, Ayah 126 and 127. Let's listen to the recitations.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون لهم دار السلام عند ربهم وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون.
Nice recitation. MashaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما. Hussein, read this once.
وَهَذَا صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا.
Fawad, did he say Bismillah?
No.
Okay, say أعوذ بالله, Bismillah, and then recite it. Brothers and sisters, whenever inshallah you recite, we wanted to recite the Quran, there are some etiquettes, okay? Like some steps to, in fact, because of respect to the Quran, we should recite. Like, with wudu, try to be with wudu, okay? Try to sit properly, okay? And if you sit face to the Qibla, if you, in the direction of Qibla, you gain more thawab. Even if you're performing wudu, if you stand in the direction of Qibla and perform wudu, you gain more thawab. Okay? Alright? Of course, the prayer must... You should face the Qibla. Yes, it's wajib.
Yes.
You will not get more thawab, okay? If you... Do not, if you do or not, but it's wajib. So, wudu, being with wudu, okay? And next thing, sitting properly, having a rahl, okay, something that you hold the Quran and put it on, or you hold your Quran on your hands, okay?
Yes.
Then starting with A'udhu Billah, because Allah Almighty says in the Quran, وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Say A'udhu Billahi مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and then Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then recite. Okay?
That's all. Yes.
And the surahs for what? The surahs, okay? All the surahs that you want to recite
should begin.
You should begin with a Bismillah, except one surah. Surah At-Tawbah or Bara'ah. That it does not start with Bismillah. So the rest of the surahs.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
The reason is this. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim means in
Allah
the name of Allah,
most
the most merciful and the most compassionate.
Why are there two Bismillahs in Surah An-Naml?
Nice one. We have 114 surahs in the Quran. All the surahs. We have 114 surahs in the Quran, and we have 114 Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in the Quran.
Yeah. But only 113 start with Bismillah.
Only 113 of those surahs start with Bismillah.
Bismillah. In Surah An-Naml.
In Surah An-Naml, ayah 27 of Surah An-Naml, it says, "Innahu one part, like in the middle of that surah, Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu Bismillahi Rahman Rahim." Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam sent a letter to the queen of Saba, okay? Saba Asiri, okay? Letter. In that letter, it says, "Innahu min Sulaiman." This letter is from Sulaiman, and it starts this way: "Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim." Then Allah Almighty, Allah Ta'alu. Okay, the rest of the letter. So we have 114 Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In 113 of the surahs, all the surahs start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, except Surah Bara'ah or Tawbah. And where is the other one, the 114th Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? It is in
Surah An-Naml,
ayah 27.
Seven.
Okay. So guys, وَهَذَا صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. Hussein, now say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He forgot Bismillah and أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. That's why we mentioned this point. So Hussein, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ Bismillah, start.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
أحسن. Now read it.
وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما.
Thank you, mashallah. وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما. This is the straight path of your Lord. So it means that Surat, the way, the path of Allah Almighty, is direct path. It doesn't have right and left,
Surat
go right,
al-mustaqim.
Go left. Sometimes you should be on the right, sometimes on the left. No, direct way, straight path.
Surat means path.
Yes, no? Surat means path. Sabil also means path. So Surat, mustaqim. Ihdina Surat
al-mustaqim.
Ahsan. So what is this Surat? Surat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. O Allah Almighty, to the path of the people, of those whom you have blessed them. There is another ayah in the Quran that explains this surat al-mustaqim. An'amta alayhim. Who are they that Allah Almighty has specially blessed them? An'amta alayhim. Okay, they are the nabiyyin, siddiqin, shuhada. Okay, the martyrs. Okay, and the wahada suratu رَبِّكَ. صِرَا has a heavy sound. صِرَاطُ رَبِّكَ مُسْتَقِيمًا. If you stop here,
it changes to alif mad مُسْتَقِيمًا.
مَن changes to
مُسْتَقِيمًا.
مُسْتَقِيمًا. Nice one. قِلَا, Fawad, could you tell us what does that قِلَا say?
That waqf, which means stop, is better than
waqf is better than wasl. So you better to stop here.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات المولى.
IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Xavier International Schools presents
والكون الواسع في صدري
Let's recite the Quran.
Read the next part, Hussein. Qad.
قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
يَذَّكَّرُونَ Yes? يَذَّكَّرُونَ We have tashdeed. So, Allah Almighty says, we have already elaborated the signs for a people who take admonition, who understand the notices and the reminders. Okay? Allah Almighty says. So قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا قَدْ has an echoing sound with
yes.
دال قَدْ فَصَّلْنَا الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ How do you read it for?
لِقَوْمٍ يَذَّكَّرُونَ
Okay. Those people who are with wisdom, knowledge, they understand what Allah Almighty says, okay? They clearly understand that Islam is the right
religion,
the right path. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Okay, accepted religion for Allah Almighty is Islam. Okay, next ayah, Hussein. لَهُمْ
لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ
أحسن. Sin has a light sound.
Yes.
It's not like صاد. دَارُ السَّلَامِ No. دَارُ السَّلَامِ Read it again.
دار السلام
أحسن سلام سلام عليكم not you don't say سلام عليكم سلام عليكم okay لهم دار السلام عند ربهم for them shall be the abode of peace near their Lord دار السلام means the like a room or a place a garden maybe okay garden which is healthy garden blessed garden full of blessings okay for them عند ربهم near their Lord move on
وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون
thank you there was one point that he forgot to apply the rule what was that point Fawad وهو وليهم ميم ساكن
إخفاء
إخفاء حسين وليهم ميم ساكن plus با إخفاء إخفاء of ميم read it now how do you read
وهو وليهم بما
that's nice very nice so brothers and sisters for ميم ساكن we have three rules if ميم ساكن approaches ميم إدغام
مثلين
If ميم ساكن approaches با إخفاء وليهم بما إخفاء hide the sound of ميم and the rest of the letters just إظهار okay معكم أينما كنتم وهو معكم ميم ساكن أينما starts with همزة no changes But here, ba, if letter mim sakin approaches ba, you have to produce a hidden sound. وَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمْ وَهُوَ وَلِيُّهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ And he will be their guardian because of what they used to do. Allah Almighty says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in after Ayatul Kursi, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah is the guardian Wali, okay, the supporter or the protector. And also it means the guardian of those who have faith. So those who have faith will enter Dar as-Salam. Okay? So that's all. Inshallah, for more explanation, I want you to refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, if you want to learn more. We could mention some points from these two verses, but that was not all about these two verses. Inshallah, learn from the Tafasir books. I will recite these two verses with Tajweed rules, Hussein and Fawad. Please repeat after me, brothers and sisters. We ask you to listen and repeat. Ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما
وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما
قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون
قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون
أحسنتم ما شاء الله صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسن thank you so much Allah bless you brother Hussein Akbari and Fawad Haider thank you so much brothers and sisters for being with us up to this time that's all from us for today hope you stay safe inshallah stay with Arab English Radio thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevier International Schools Network see you walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen sallallahu ala sayyidina muhammadi wa alihi at-tahirin
Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ali muhammad وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. I am Bita, and once again, I have the opportunity to be at your service. But today, in the program of Like Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, right from his childhood, was known for his virtue and lofty conduct and was far removed from the prevalent vices of the day like idolatry, dishonesty, drinking, gambling, and so many other things, which were the actually hallmarks of that time society. So his noble character stood him out as the most impeccable one ever, to the point that his people called him Sadiq, or the truthful, and Amin, the honest, the two characteristics that he is known with. They put actually their complete trust in him and always turned to him as an impartial judge in their frequent disputes. And, you know, he was actually a born believer whose heart was free from the filth of disbelief and polytheism. Never had the boy been near idols, let alone worship them. The all-knowing Allah, who had actually singled out the child for the greatest task and blessings that lay ahead, and inspired Muhammad's, peace be upon him and his family, young heart with his greatness, power, and majesty. So his purity was in indicative of his future greatness, for how could people believe in him and put their trust in him if they see him, for example, prostrating before man-made objects and indulging in vices like any ordinary Arab of the day. Surely none would have responded to his call to Islam towards virtue and towards deliverance from oppression, and none would have believed him if they were not sure of his truthfulness and honesty. So these two characteristics are so important in the seerah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, which we're responsible to learn from this lifestyle, from these characteristics. And at this time, I think we have to go for a break. Stay tuned, dear listeners.
يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك يا نبي سلام عليك يا رسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and you're listening to the program Like Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family. You know, in order to know more about this, actually, a man's lifestyle, which is the guidance of all time, we need to know more some historical hints. And it is all about the call that he made in order to invite people towards the religion Islam, which, as I mentioned in the last part of the episode, two important characteristics of this man was honesty and truthfulness, which was necessary for calling people and inviting people towards Islam religion. Despite the actually feverish attempts of the Arab influence to suppress the call of truth, the young Muslim community began to grow, as we all know, in numbers as more and more people put their trust in the truthfulness and honesty of this man and understand the truth of Islam. So the Prophet's mission can thus be classified under the two periods, which are the secret call and the public call. The secret call, at first, as we all are aware, the messenger of Allah called people to Islam secretly. He began with his immediate family, the Bani Hashim, explaining to them his divine mission. For three consecutive days, he had actually talked with them without much actual success, and only his young cousin, Ali, peace be upon him, stood up every time, saying, "I bear witness Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his family." The other members of his clan either mocked at him or remained silent, perhaps needing time to ponder over his words. Without feeling the least discouraged, Muhammad, peace be upon him, continued his work, encountering individuals and inviting them to Islam. By and large, the devoted group of Muslims increased around him, and he selected a secret, secluded spot to assemble the faithful and teach them the principles of Islam and the verses of Quran as they were gradually revealed. When the number of Muslims had reached 40, Almighty Allah ordered his messenger to shun the garment of secrecy and make public the invitation to Islam. And there are so many interesting things that we can learn from this story and these historical facts. The first of all, look at the courage and bravery of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and that how great this man is. And he is one of the people that you can rely on. You can go and learn more and more things about him. And the thing was about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family, which he was actually inviting people with patience in secret, which is a really heavy task, in my opinion, to have this strong belief and have this strong patience towards people in order to actually take this action of calling people in secret. And the second classification of invitation of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, was the public call, which I'm going to elaborate more after a short break. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, where we're talking about two different classifications of the invitation of Prophet Muhammad towards Islam. And the last part of our episode, we're going to talk about the public call. And as you know, as the number of committed Muslims began to grow, Almighty Allah commanded His Prophet to publicly announce the call to Islam. Some of the notable converts at this stage included Muhammad's kinsmen, such as Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and so many other people actually were the supporters and followers of him. The growing presence of such a strong people in the Muslim community actually frightened and it was a big risk and danger for these polytheists. So it was a really difficult task at that time to make this invitation public, despite the fact that those people were standing there and feeling the risk and feeling the actually danger that was threatening their materialistic benefits. And look at the bravery that we can see all throughout the history, all throughout the lifestyle of our infallibles and Prophet Muhammad specifically, peace be upon them. And this is the thing that we have to learn nowadays, because we're living in a world in modernity that everyone is thinking of their own benefits. In this mindset that individualism is the best answer, is the, you know, best method of living, unfortunately, is growing that ignorance or jahalat that we talked about in last episode. And this is the thing that we have to cut the root of this jahalat and ignorance that we are facing in the modern world. And one of the ways of fighting against this actually ignorance is learning from the lifestyle of our guide, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family. So I think it was all the time I had for today's episode. I hope it was helpful for you, dear listeners. And I bid you farewell. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back to a new episode of your very favorite, Back to Reality. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the pleasure to be your host. And here with me, I have two very dear guests, Sister Bita and Brother Mustafa. So, as the ritual of this program goes, I would like you both to introduce yourself very briefly. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And yes, my name is Mustafa. I'm a student here and I'm studying in Hoza. I'm studying psychology and originally I'm from Pakistan, but I've lived in different countries.
I am Bita and I'm a student in Tehran University and I'm studying medicine actually. And that's it.
Yeah. Welcome, both of you. Welcome to your very studio. Okay, well, as for today, I guess we're going to talk about something which is very common, because we are the inhabitant of Earth and there are many dangers that might happen in our life. You know, as we are living there are quite a list, a growing list of things that might happen to us and deviate us from the main purpose of our life. Like, there are some people who could get indulged or involved or engaged in too much of gaming or doing things that would just take them away from the main thing that they have to do in their lives. And I'm pretty sure that we all have seen a lot of those people in our lives, and maybe even ourselves once were trapped in those dangers. Tell us about these dangers.
This is like, you know, there's so many dangers. When you're studying psychology, it's all about sort of all of the dangers out there, right? And what you sort of, one of the things that you study is that a human being has multiple dimensions to them, right? For example, you have a physical dimension to yourself. And then within the physical dimension, there's like different parts to you. Like there's like, for example, your eyes, like your teeth, your, you know, all parts of your body, and each one requires its own sort of care, right? So you kind of have to look at a human being from multiple dimensions in a holistic way to sort of realize what those dangers are, I think. That would
Speaking about the mental dangers or even the dangers that might be imposed by society on you or maybe by your desires, temporary desires, of course. Speaking of those dangers, what comes to your mind?
You know what? The thing about dangers, the first thing that about danger comes to my mind is that, and I was studying embryology, and in this field, you will study all the dangers that will put your embryo in danger. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's something really mysterious. It's something really astonishing that with so many dangers, I don't know, maybe the possibility of that embryo being healthy is like less than 1%.
Yeah.
And still, we have all these healthy people in the society, so it amazed me. Okay,
healthy
and
baby, let's say.
Yeah, babies. So the thing is about the mental dangers that we're facing, they are the things that we choose to go through them.
Exactly. Okay? Yeah.
And it's not like all those dangers that are imposed by us without our own will. Okay, so you are choosing to go through a danger, and it's not a danger itself.
Well, I might disagree a bit. Sometimes it's not you exactly picking that danger,
but
for
at
yourself.
The end of the day, it's
so,
you.
So sometimes what can happen is that, like the environment that you grow up in, like based off, of, like let's say if your parents are in a bad situation, for example, you know, it can have an impact on the child and its upbringing.
But
right.
At the end of the day, the reaction that you have towards the danger is up to you.
Well, let me give you an example.
You have to agree.
Let me give you a better example. Like, for example, imagine I know a family that, for example, has gone through divorce, right? And then their child, because of that, who's only 8 or 9 years old, one of the dangers, for example, that's out there, for example, is gaming, right? For example, or addiction to entertainment or media, right?
Yeah.
I would say include any type of that. The child has become addicted to that because the parents don't have the time to look after him or, right?
Yeah, I know the same example.
So are you going to say the child chose that lifestyle?
Exactly, yeah. It was
are you
going to
blame the child for that?
But